2, 1. Good evening, one and all. I know, weeks go whizzing by, don't they? Well, here I am with another book and a chat, and my guest is here as well, which is always good these days. But how has it been? Well, we've had all sorts of weather here in Connecticut where I am. We've had really humid weather, we've had hot weather, and then on Saturday we had a huge cloud burst. Water was shooting 2 foot out the drains in the road. And of course, being at the bottom of the hill, you know, near the river stream, we ended up having all the garage and the basement flooded and everything jolly good like that, which lucky wasn't too bad because, of course, people know I sort of do a lot of flea market stuff, and that was on shelves mainly. So I was pretty lucky, but it's done and I've cleared up. Carpets, wet carpets weigh a lot, let me tell you that. Anyway, I am here and so is my guest. Now, my guest, he has performed over 60,000 holistic healing consultations over 37 years. And currently in Massachusetts, and his work focuses on energy diagnostic, muscle testing and nutritional therapy. All sorts of stuff. Well, he's written a few books about this stuff, but he's written this great book about, well, let's get on and ask him, have you? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Dr. Mark Minkola. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Barry, delighted to be on. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. How's it been in Massachusetts? A bit wet up there as well.
Is this what we call mold season? I feel like I live in Moldavia.
Oh God! I feel like it's like almost like Florida with the humidity during the day and then a huge storm in the evening. Oh, that's my remembrance of Florida.
Funneling up the coast.
Oh,
with all kinds of
right. Yeah, right. Indeed. When did you first get into the whole medical healing type thing? Was it something that you studied, or was it suddenly something you found you had a not just an interest in, but a knack for?
You know, there are a couple of different influences, Barry. One influence is that my dad and I had a difficult time connecting. Some fathers and sons get along nicely. Some fathers and sons struggle to get along. And my father and I struggled to get along, no question about it. And I was always looking to make a connection with him at a deeper level, and I never really had much luck at that. But interestingly enough, the one area that we had commonality over that we could talk about and we could actually exchange brilliantly over was nutrition.
All right.
We were both nutritional addicts. We loved the concept of nutrition, and that's one place we got on really well.
Because, I mean, you've done, what, 6 books or something now? 6 best-selling books?
Seven books,
right. See, I'm that far behind the times. 7 books now. But you've also, you know, you've done movies as well, haven't you? You were sort of won awards for movies and stuff, as well as being on television, of course.
Yes, we do. This present book, The Way of Miracles, is also coupled up, it's partnershiped up with a film called The Way of Miracles. So there's a film, The Way of Miracles, that people can actually go to thewayofmiracles.com and check that out. So there's a film called The Way of Miracles and a book entitled The Way of Miracles. And they're both being rolled out. They've just rolled out 2 weeks ago. So they're fresh on the market. Things are getting really interesting.
Pretty good. Before we get onto the book, one of the interesting things that I picked up, you know, when I was sort of reading the stuff about you, which is unlike a lot of other people you get on the show, is that you're not just saying, okay, let's do the, you know, the one sort of healing, your diet. You make sure it's a few, you know, don't look at the common base stuff, look at the herbal stuff, look at that. You sort of take bits from everything. You're willing to look at every aspect of nutrition and healing and put it together. You're not just stuck in the herbal or stuck in the modern day thing. You're able to sort of compare and mix and match and see exactly what the person needs. Is that something you actually set out to do?
Yes. I mean, when you think about the word holistic, I mean, holistic sort of engenders the concept of being spread out, you know, that you're using more than one system. And as you point out, we're using nutrition, nutritional therapies, nutritional supplementation, Qigong energy work from China, some Chinese medicine, I should say, and a lot of herbs, homeopathic medicines, and different food supplements, things like that. So we're using virtually everything and anything within the realm of natural medicine to get the job done. We have for 37 years, and we've had some great experiences, great luck, and we've had a lot of people with terminal illnesses and serious health conditions that we've actually straightened out, and people we've helped beyond the norm. So I think, you know, when you think about the fact that we've seen a lot of stage 3 cancer, stage 4 cancer patients, a lot of terminally ill patients, and the movie and the book are all about that.
Right.
The movie and the books clearly point out the fact that there are, you know, that we have people actually tell their stories. There's a woman that had a tumor the size of a tennis ball in her frontal lobe, and she had it surgically removed, and then she decided that that was it. She wasn't going to go back for anymore. The tumor grew back 2 months later, and she said, "I've had it with brain surgery, and I can't do any more brain surgery, no matter what. I can't do that." She came to me, and we got rid of the tumor in 5 months through natural medicine. And long story short is she has not had a tumor back for 9 years. She's been tumor-free for 9 years now.
That's
just one story. There's many stories in the book, many stories in the movie.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what's so good about it, the fact you do show that in the book and in the film and that. But is it that you're able to home in on the bad part, shall I say? You know, you can get to what the crux of the issue is, the thing that's causing the trouble, and thus are able to work on it, where rather than the sort of scattergun, you know, try this, take that, you know, one of them might work sort of thing. Is that something that, you know, where you think you have the extra power to help people?
Yes, no question about that. I think for one thing, you know, anytime you do something for 37 years, you're bound to get a clue about it.
Right.
Number two, we have a system that I developed. It's an energy diagnostic system, and it pinpoints. It's taken from ancient Chinese medicine, but we can pinpoint the visceral connections in the body, where the strengths and weaknesses are with organs and glands, where the weaknesses and strengths are of bacteria, viruses, things like that. We can actually pinpoint energetically what we need to pinpoint from the perspective of causal root, what I call the causal root. If you get to the root of the problem, you can make great headway with it.
Right.
We diagnostically do that from an energy perspective, and we've been good. We had great luck with the process.
Well, as you said, you know, your book and the film, the book, The Way of Miracles, Assessing Your Super Consciousness, and obviously the film is just The Way of Miracles. But one of the things you do is just in the name. I mean, everybody has this concept of what a miracle is. You know, is it some sort of extraordinary event? You know, often people think by a divine person or group or what have you. How do you define it?
I define a miracle as an extraordinary event. It's unexpected, that has the ability to radically change the course of life. So these patients that have had tumors that we've cleared up, one Parkinson's patient, when he first came to see me in my office, we had to carry him to the chair. He was just shaking. We had a very difficult time getting him to sit in the chair. Now he jogs 3 miles a day.
Wow.
So we have these phenomenal stories. And again, I think that the key is that there's a higher self that we all have access to.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it very often. We talk about spirit a little bit from time to time. But for the most part, we're thinking about our material self, our personality, our cells, our tissues, our organs, our organisms. The fact that we're more than that is something most people don't take the time to discuss or think about a lot. We're very deep. We're very comprehensive as far as the capacity we have to make changes, to make miracles happen, to do things we don't often take the time to believe in. We don't have a great belief in our nature, and I think we need to change our identity from the perspective of just a material being to an extraordinary being that's capable of operating at a very deep spiritual level and make changes happen in unexpected ways that are truly miraculous. I think we have that capacity. We do it every day at our work. We want to spread the word. You know, I want to make sure that the work that I've done over the past 37 years isn't just in my world, that it actually is shared with the real world.
And I think that's one of the things. I mean, about 5-10% of our brain we use or know about, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right, 10%.
Yeah, and we have we don't know what people can do and what people can't do. I mean, you hear all the time, you know, people lifting cars off somebody, you know, just in the spur of the moment, or even to things like, you were going to drive down this road going home, and something somewhere made you go down another, you know, a different way, and you find out there was an accident down the road that you would have gone down, so things like that. And in this case, the power that we have within ourselves, as you say, it's there. We perhaps we don't know it, or perhaps we don't accept it. Is more of a better thing to say, but the fact it's there to use, and you've got to have belief in it, belief in yourself. I thought that would be one of the hardest parts for somebody.
I think there's four components to miracles. Number one, reject. Number two, accept. Number three, expect. Number four, create. So I say that when we take the quantum leap from rejecting the fact miracles are a possibility all the way to the area of accepting the fact that we have the ability to create them, that's the quantum leap. So to go from rejecting miracles to creating miracles is what it's all about. But again, you can do this. I mean, I do this, and the patients I work with have taught me to do this. Terminally ill patients are my teachers. They've actually brought me to the awareness of this process. So here's the deal. We all have a profoundly deeper, more capable, more powerful self. If we identify with that self and start to get used to operating from that place in our being, we can make miracles. But you can't make miracles from the mundane self. You got to make miracles from the exceptional self.
In a way, you do, because if people thought about it, you have some days where you seem to be able to get everything done and everything, you know, and you think, oh, so it was just everything fell into place today on it. It could be that you're actually open that day. Your channel to your miracles, your acceptance, even though you're not calling it miracle, is just you're in a better mindset for it that day. I'm sure everybody sort of listening can think of something that's happened where, you know, just, oh, well, everything fell into place today. Everything was right. I managed to do this and I couldn't think I was going to do. But it could just be that you've opened up that channel for however short a time on that day.
Yes, that's true. But beyond the inadvertent nature of it, we can actually plan on this happening. That's the important part. We can actually plan on this. We can actually make this happen. We get consistent with it. We can actually create it. We can create the process. That's important. That's really important for people to grasp.
And I think that's one of the hardest things, you know, not just to accept miracles, but to realize that you control them, that they're there for you.
Absolutely.
You turn it off and on. You know, you look after the switch, but you've got to, well, first off, obviously, accept is the big hard word. And as you said, the four different things there as well, go through those. One of the things you do say in the book is about food as a medicine. Can you explain how that works?
I say food is like a drug. Drugs can save lives. Drugs can take lives. So if you have a person who has diabetic condition, they eat candy bars, and they eat ice cream and stuff like that, those people are going to have elevated blood sugar levels. They're going to have run into serious problems. Their heart functioning, their immune system, and their longevity factors are going to be greatly interfered with, no question about that.
Right.
So we have the capacity to destroy ourselves with food under the wrong circumstances. But under the right circumstances, if we learn anything from the work that we've done over the past 37 years, it's that by taking the right kind of food for the right kind of situation, and have people actually working at putting organized food programs together that alkalize the body, that oxygenate the blood, and then actually support the immunity, and that are actually anti-inflammatory. Think about this. 72% of all disease is inflammatory. 72% of all disease is inflammatory. That includes 155 autoimmune diseases. So there's a lot of inflammation that comes into play. There are three different pathways, biochemical pathways, for inflammation. The first one is neutral. The second one is inflammatory. The third one is anti-inflammatory. They begin with foods, Barry. They start with foods. The inflammatory pathway includes red meat, dairy products, peanuts, egg yolks, and sugar. Those are inflammatory pathway foods. Those are foods that increase the amount of arachidonic acid.
Right.
They produce COX-2 hormones, and that sets up inflammation, which is, again, representative of 72% of all disease. If you move in the anti-inflammatory direction, it's more fatty fish, more lean proteins, more organic fruits and vegetables. So I think that, you know, what we generally think of as healthy food is anti-inflammatory. What we generally think of as unhealthy food is profoundly inflammatory. And again, you get a genetic potential to produce a genetic expression. So your genes are always expressing themselves one way or the other. So if you want your genes to express themselves in a positive way, that's called epigenetic expression. So epigenetic means above genes. So that we have the ability to change our probability factors for wellness and for disease. You know, for years, Barry, we used to think that genes represented 95% of our disease determinants.
Yeah.
Now they've reduced it to 5%.
Wow.
So 95% adjustable through genetic nutrition, et cetera. So to eat the anti-inflammatory healthy foods, to stay away from the unhealthy foods, changes your genetic probabilities from 5 to 95%.
Wow, it just shows you. I mean, yeah, people, yeah, we learn all the time, obviously, as we go, and every day you say something new, something seen as a miracle, you know, what have you, but something new is developed, and you look back sort of 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and how things were and how things are now, you know, it's amazing how far we come. But as we found out over the last year, it doesn't take much for the whole pyramid to be, you know, to be tipped over, sort of thing. The super consciousness, is that sort of where we go to create these miracles? Because when I think of super consciousness, and I'm most likely totally wrong on this one, I had a past life generation once, and I knew I was not under. I could hear the cars in the street and everything like that, but I sort of went to a place and a time, and I thought I'd been under for like about 10, 15 minutes. And when I came out, it had been like an hour and a half, and lost all sort of, you're in a sort of semi-consciousness almost. Now, is that almost like opening up, or partly opening up to your super consciousness? The fact that you don't know you can, but you can actually almost move time itself, because you're in almost two places at the same time. I'm not sure if I've explained that well, but anyway, the super conscious, you know, what is that?
Well, Dan, you entered into a subconscious state,
right,
with your description. So subconscious, interesting. The conscious mind can process 2,000 bits of information per second, the conscious mind. The subconscious mind can produce 400 billion.
Yeah.
400 billion bits of information per second. It's incredible. But I think that the key is there's different brain frequencies that we're talking about. We're talking about the hertz, or the cycles per second the brain produces, anywhere from 4 to 60. From 4 to 60 cycles per second. It's incredible. So we produce electromagnetic frequencies in our brain that actually are regulated by the mind. So the mind actually is producing either high or low frequencies. And the objective is to actually understand that when we produce super mellow frequencies, calm frequencies, low blood pressure frequencies, healthy mm-hmm. frequencies, no stress frequencies, those are the most powerful frequencies that we produce, the low frequencies, like delta brainwaves. Delta brainwaves, like 4 cycles per second. So delta brainwaves put us in a position to make some remarkable efforts come to fruition. So talk about super consciousness. That's kind of an ultra mellow state, super calm, and it's capable of connecting to virtually everything in the universe. In other words, the universe produces a frequency, 432 cycles per second. So it's a pretty amazing frequency.
Right,
the universe
yeah.
produces.
Yeah.
But we can actually align ourselves with that frequency. When we go into deep states, we go into delta states, we can align ourselves with the universal frequency. And we can actually produce states that are more conducive to miracle making, like I said earlier. So
all right.
By going to those places where we're actually slowing down the nervousness, the craziness, the monkey brain, if you will, the monkey mind.
Yeah.
I think we have the ability to do great, great things. So those people who meditate, want to think in terms of bringing emotion to your meditation. That's the important factor.
Right.
We tend to think of emotion and mind as different parts of the brain, different parts of the being. I think it's important to realize you can actually take the passion of your emotion and plug it into your meditation.
Right.
So you're meditating with a passion, so to speak, of accomplishment, of attainment, of reaching some higher goals. but feeling unstoppable, feeling like you're capable of doing anything within reason, anything imaginable. So I think that it's a matter of superconscious, it's a matter of understanding that we have a higher mind and a higher brain that we can engage through training, through meditative training, and through incorporating a passion with that process of thought, that process of peacemaking in our mind and our brain.
Well, one of the things, interesting, because one of the things that comes up, you know, very often on the show, I've been doing about 1,700 shows now over the last sort of 10 years, but one of the things, you know, especially with the authors, we sort of talk about how, you know, the characters talk to you and they lead you down the story, no matter how much you plot it out, and sort of minor characters what major roles and stuff like that. The number of times, number of people who they basically write their book or it comes to them perhaps when they're asleep and in this sort of separate consciousness sort of thing, and the characters come and talk to them, and you know, they have to get up and write it down and stuff like that. It's indirectly a similar sort of thing, that you open up and you can accept what's coming to you from whatever from whatever way. So I think that's very interesting to hear what you just said.
I have no doubt about the fact that this book that I've just written, The Way of Miracles, is channeled. I'm telling you, the book is channeled because I go into trance state.
Okay. In the book. Right. In the middle of writing it, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely clear that I wasn't doing the writing. I mean, the energy was coming through me. And
totally agree.
Dictation, and I just flowed with it.
That's what I say. All we are, it's almost like there's a parallel universe, and all we are is the conduit that writes the stuff down in this one. And you're right, it comes through to you. I mean, even now, I sort of read some of my books, and you know, I go back to that. I think, where did those words come from? They're not words I used. Who wrote that? You know, because you're right, you get into like a subconscious consciousness of it. Yeah.
It's absolutely true. You're right about that. It's incredible.
Okay, the movie of the same name as the book, The Way of Miracles, is coming up. Can you tell us a bit about, you know, who's in it?
Yes, Deepak Chopra's in it. Bruce Lipton is in it. I'm trying to think. Chamonix's in it. Chamonix Jain is in it. Menos Kafatos, the physicist, is in it.
Yeah, okay.
Beautiful people in the film. Incredible film. And they really did some amazing work in the film.
Did
explaining the dynamics at a level of physics and at a level of science. That, you know, what we're able to do, saving people's lives, producing miracles with energy.
Right.
It's something that they took the time to detail and explain through physics. It's incredible. It's beautiful.
Right. And I think that's good. I was going to ask that because these people are able to sort of, you know, go through what you've written and almost explain it from different points of view and different sides and that, which
they put a little bit of science shine on it all.
Right.
They brought the science into it and they brought it to a different place. It supported the whole concept, though. Beautiful.
Do you have to sort of change your life and your lifestyle to get to to get to this level?
Yes, I think you do. I think not just your life and your lifestyle. I think you have to change your mind. I think you have to change your inner being. I think you have to change. It's more of a transformation rather than a change. I think you're transforming into a different set of beliefs and a different set of possibilities. And I think you're transforming into an energetic field of difference. I think that you're becoming more elevated in consciousness. I think you're becoming more devoted to tapping into your true source, the soul that you have, the essence that you are, the energy that you're made up of. You're going beyond the material properties of just cell, tissue, organisms. You're now expanding the idea of energy and the idea of spirit, soul, and essence. It's just it's a different set of thoughts. It's a different set of intentions. It's a different set of manifestations. No question.
You can't see me, but I'm sitting here nodding my head as you say. Yes, I agree. And it's a lot to take in. But, you know, from what you said, and obviously with the book and the film and that, a lot of people, I think, you know, are going to get into this and find out, and obviously you're there, you know, still practicing, still teaching these people, etc., along the way. But the clock is beating us, so what I'm going to do now, Mark, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your books and your film.
Thank you, Barry. Yeah, they can actually find out more about me by going to markmincola.com. It's Mark with a K, Mark Mincola, M-I-N-C-O-L-L-A, markmincola.com. You can actually find out more about the movie and actually watch the movie at thewayofmiracles.com. That's thewayofmiracles.com. That'll get you into the movie. The book is simply obtainable through amazon.com. So you just go to Amazon, you can purchase the book, The Way of Miracles. And they both complement each other. They're not exactly the same. They're a little bit different. So if people are wondering if the book and the movie are identical, they're not. They're very different. They take slightly different paths along the way. But they're both powerful messages. They're both intended to teach the reader, to educate the reader, and to awaken the reader to their higher sense of possibilities and their limitless capabilities.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. It's been fascinating chatting to you and learning about this thing. And it, you know, to open the mind is a hard thing. And I think that's from what you said and everything like that, this is where we've got to go. And I'm sure with the book and with the film, a lot of people are going to pick up on it. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Dr. Mark, M-A-R-K, and it Mincola, M-I-N-C-O-L-L-A, Dr. Mark Mincola. And we've been talking about his book, his new book, and film, as a way, The Way of Miracles. Very interesting, and a lot of people, I think, could find a lot of help from it. And as he said, you can go to his site, drmarkmincola.com, I think it was, and, excuse me, as a cough comes along. And there's also the link there to see the film as well. I'm sure there is. Anyway, very interesting stuff. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. But until then, as always, we only have one thing left to say. Don't forget...